Welcome to the program. I'm welcoming us to the program.
Thank you.
Welcome us to the program. Did you just hit the mouse button and turn my music
off?
Yeah,
I was wondering how that happened.
That was you.
Good morning. That's me.
Dude, you look awesome.
Oh, stop.
You seem exhausted.
That's
what I meant to say.
No. You have to start over.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Here we go.
Steve-O and Mitch in the morning on Static Radio.
Oh, wake up your neighbors. Wake up your brothers and your sisters and your mothers. Wake up!
You're looking dashing this morning.
Start over!
What, dashing's good, isn't it?
No!
I thought it's like, oh, you look dashing. Don't they say that in
movies? Don't
even
bring stupid attention to how I look today.
You walked in here, and I don't think your feet left the ground. I think you just were scooting along.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did notice when I woke up this morning, I was checking my email right away. And there was a tweet that mentioned me last night, so I took to Twitter, which I never do. I took to Twitter to read said tweet. And I read other tweets, and I noticed that you had tweeted at, like, midnight.
It was 11.
Because you were watching a movie.
Yeah, I watched Moonrise Kingdom last night.
We've been doing this show for over a year now. You haven't gotten to that, like...
Sometimes I forget, and I have to remember why.
Last night...
And this is a why. I remember now. I remember!
Last night, Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I found out yesterday that I am a movie snob.
Wait, hold on. You just found this out.
I found out yesterday I'm a movie snob because I'm a movie quality snob, apparently.
Okay.
So, a buddy of mine lent me some DVDs, and I'm going to have to just give them back.
Lended.
He lent me.
Nope.
Lended. Lended is not a word.
I don't think lent
he is. He lended me some DVDs.
Lended
lent
me.
He lent me some DVDs.
Okay.
And, you know, I mentioned yesterday how people had been telling me, because of my crazy mustache, that I reminded them of Daniel Day-Lewis from,
loaned.
Like...
Loaned.
Loaned me. Lent. Lent me. He lent me. Lent.
Okay, anyway.
Anyways. What is it? Am I wrong? Is it loaned? Oh, the webcam's not working.
Oh,
thank you,
Jeeps.
So, I've been told, because of my crazy mustache that I used to have, that is in the process of growing back. So, in about 2 months, people can say it yet again, hopefully.
Okay.
Because, let's be honest, the curls are going to take some time to get back.
Oh, my gosh.
However, I was told that I look like Daniel Day-Lewis from, like, Gangs of New York and There Will Be Blood. And every time I said, oh, I haven't seen that movie, somebody went, what?
Why?
You haven't seen There Will Be Blood? You haven't seen Gangs? So I watched Gangs of New York because it was on television. And I watched it. And I was like, cool, Scorsese. So it was gnarly. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy Leo was in it.
I know.
He was fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Dude, the cast was pretty great,
yeah,
actually. Liam Neeson was in it for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He played Leo's dad.
Yeah,
at
that's
the
very
beginning.
Long. Yeah.
So, anyways, but There Will Be Blood I hadn't watched, and so I saw that it was also on television and recorded it. So yesterday I got home with the intent I'm gonna watch this because we had a listener dinner last night.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go to dinner with some really cool people, Chris and Wendy,
that was great.
And their kiddos, and. So, I was thinking, Scott. I always say Chris, I'm sorry. I mean Scott. Scott and Wendy. I'm sorry, Scott. Anyway, so, I recorded this movie, and I get home, and I watch, like, a couple minutes, and I'm like, I realize that it's set at the end of the 1800s and the beginning of the 1900s, but this looks really bad. And then I realized I accidentally recorded the non-HD version.
Oh my gosh, you did not. You didn't. Okay, finish your story. Finish your story.
So I'm watching like the first few minutes and I realized I can't watch this. This isn't in HD. So.
This isn't in HD. That's what.
So I jumped on Netflix. See, maybe they had it streaming or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. And so then I went and it was like $4 to rent or something crazy like that. I'm like, I'm not going to spend $4 so that I can watch a movie I've never seen once and then never, ever see it again. So I found a place. It was actually on sale. I found a place that was like $7 or something on Blu-ray.
Nice.
And so I was like,
that means it's probably pretty bad, right?
Probably. So I bought it because
of course.
I'm not going to watch it for free on not HD. And then I get home, and I'm explaining the story to my wife, who then in turn says, wow, you're an HD snob.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I can't watch movies that aren't, like, really good qualities that, you know, it's like, this is how it was filmed.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. So anyways, so finally at, like, 9 o'clock, you know, because we got home. We got home at a pseudo-decent hour, but then after putting kids to bed, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, it's like 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And the movie is almost 3 hours long.
Oh,
and I'm thinking 9, 10, 11, 12. I won't be done with this until tomorrow, and I have to get up. I will have to have gotten up 4.5 hours later. So do I really want to watch this movie? Yes, I do!
And you sat down and you watched it.
And yeah, we put it on, and my poor wife, because she was like, what's this movie about? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know what it's about. I just saw the first 5 minutes, but it was so grainy, I couldn't even pay attention. So hopefully it's not awful.
Yeah. This is boring.
We're about an hour or so into it, because he hit the 10 o'clock hour, and I was like, well, if this were action-packed, it would probably have kept my attention more. We should finish this tomorrow. So we went to bed.
Boring.
I don't want to say it's boring, because I'm sure it's building up to something.
Yeah, just like Gangs of New York was building up to something in the last 30 minutes. I didn't finish that movie.
You should.
No, I got to the last 30 minutes. I was like, you know what? Just tell me what happens. I don't care. Just tell me.
You do, but the ending is good.
The last 30 minutes I heard were amazing.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
But
yes, you're right.
I stopped.
So I'm assuming, I'm hoping that that's what happens with There Will Be Blood.
Why?
Because so far, my wife was like, hey, you know what? When you get home, you should just finish that without me.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to.
Yeah.
Because so far, I don't know. He's an oil guy or something.
Yeah, that's all I remember from the trailer. Yeah. I remember, like, big words for the trailer and oil.
Yeah.
And blood.
Yeah. There's a lot of
bee blood.
There's like, hey, found some oil and I gotta. And he's like swindling these families and. And
gosh, that sounds awful.
But it's like, there's a lot of digging and there's a lot of like oil rigging. I have a bunch of old photos of this time period because my father was in the oil business. And because of that, I have all of these old photos from the early 1900s of oil rigging and stuff.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, my dad was in the oil business, so it's got to be interesting for. I don't know. I'm really hoping somebody else, because the people that told me this was awesome so far, the track record has not been stellar from this crew of friends who has told me, and I'm not going to say her name, Ethan Hall, but for some reason, the people that recommend these movies to me, and I watch and go, okay, I guess I don't get it yet. I will. He won the Academy Award for Best Actor for it.
Weird. Okay.
But he's a brilliant actor. Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah, no, he's amazing. He's got it. He's not really a part of a movie that
is terrible.
It's terrible.
Oh, now I'm on a search. Now I will find one.
Okay.
I will find one.
Okay.
I probably won't.
No.
Yeah.
You still have to see Lincoln.
I do.
So
I haven't seen
good.
It.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He dies in the end.
Why would you tell me that? Does it really show it? Does it go all the way up to his death?
Yeah.
Oh. Now
but
I know the
you
ending.
You don't see. You don't. Never mind.
Okay.
It's not how you expect, but it doesn't show it how you expect.
So I promise we have stuff to talk about. Coming up at 6:30, breaking news. 6:45, we do birthdays every single day. You can get your birthday shout-out in. studio@mystaticradio.com. Speaking of movies, this is the man we need to talk to about There Will Be Blood.
True.
Daniel Lesko is going to be here at 7:30. He's working on a new film. He's a director, producer, writer extraordinaire. He's an amazing dude. And he's definitely one of those film guys. So we'll talk to him coming up. About this and how I need to finish it. Maybe.
You and I watched two very artsy, very different films last night.
That's right. You saw
Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, Wes Anderson.
Yeah,
it's Bruce Willis.
Edward Norton.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, gosh.
You're like the seventh person this week that has seen that movie.
Really?
That has told, yes. So I'm like, man.
I really enjoyed it.
All right.
I really enjoyed it.
Speaking of enjoying things, Abandoning Sunday, a Locals Rule submission from Florida. We got this for New Music Tuesday. They're playing a free show in your hometown of Moriarty. We'll talk about that coming up. That was pretty exciting. Along with us, So Say We All.
Nice.
Yeah. Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static.
You can't get fresher than this.
Steve-O and Mitch in the morning on Static Radio.
It is your final full day.
It is my final full day. I will be here tomorrow, though.
You will be here tomorrow for a little bit. Are you nervous?
No.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You're getting ready to go to Mexico. You're going to be gone for 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Going to be gone for 2 weeks.
You're going to be gone for a few weeks. And before you leave, you got to get your grill fixed.
What's wrong with my teeth?
I don't know. Isn't that what you're doing tomorrow?
No.
That's what you're doing tomorrow.
No.
Oh, what are you doing tomorrow?
I just have a checkup.
Oh. Oh, because you're going to Mexico.
Yeah.
You have to get all the shots and all the crazy stuff.
Not shots, just a checkup.
I swear I thought you were getting your wisdom teeth pulled. You still haven't done that.
Nope.
When are you going to do that?
When they start hurting again.
Oh, I have to lie down. Breaking news. My co-host has crunk teeth and needs to get them fixed because she's going to destroy her mouth. But she doesn't care, apparently, because they're not hurting right now. That's like your car having the check engine light come on and everything like breaking down, but then
it's
the lights
working.
Go off and you're like, oh, it's still running.
It's exactly
well, did
what
you take
I do.
It to the mechanic? Why would I take it to the mechanic?
The light went off.
The light went off. I'm good. Everything's good. I don't know what that crazy leak thing is, but everything's fine.
You want to know something?
What?
It's exactly what I do.
I know! Oh, I'm so stressed.
Why?
I'm going to lie down.
No, don't lay down.
Okay.
Lay down.
Lie
down.
Okay.
It's just, you know, forget it.
Thursday, it is 6:35. It's Thirst Snooze Day.
Breaking news. Workplace bullying is a troubling issue, and many companies have instituted programs to deal with the problem. This might become even harder to deal with, as a new study shows that workplace bullies are actually more successful.
I mean, you know,
I bet you can't guess who the bully in this room
only
is.
Only the strong survive.
Researchers discovered that many office jerks receive positive evaluations from their supervisors and achieve high levels of career success.
Maybe that's because people just don't say, hey, that guy
is
not
a jerk.
Cool.
I did say that, and I actually ended up quitting. I was just like, well, no, it was like a year and a half's worth.
So then the bully still won?
No, because
you left your job.
Can I finish? Do you have anything else to say?
No.
Okay, so I quit my job, but they cried when I quit.
Wait, they cried when you quit?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I could have went far, but I just was like, you know what?
Are we talking about Subway?
Yes.
You could have gone far.
I could have been a shift lead.
In the Subway. You could have gone far in a
Subway. That's what I'm talking about.
Station.
Subway station. Could have been far.
You were an artist.
I was an artist.
They didn't appreciate
I was a sandwich
the way
artiste.
You put the bell peppers with
I was
the
like,
smiley
look,
faces.
Lady, I only put 6 olives on a foot long. I follow the rules. When they ask for more, I'm like, no, bro, you get 6. This is a foot long. You get 6
You're that
olives.
Person. You're the
no.
reason I don't go to those places.
No. All right.
Six. They're like counting the olives.
You're supposed to. You're supposed to.
Really?
Six olives? Six olives for a furlong.
No, that doesn't fly with me at all.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
That's terrible.
Three for a six.
Of course,
inch.
You worked there like a decade ago, so you can't say
no, it's
what
just,
the rules
it's still
are.
The same.
Is it?
Yeah, I watch it.
How do you know? You watch them count six. One, two. There's no way people are doing that anymore. Because when I say, yeah, I'd like olives, they go, blah, blah, blah. And, but then, like, inevitably, the left half of the sandwich has more than the right because
exactly.
The way they pour them on. Blah, 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 and there's, like, three on the right side. I'm like, okay, so when I get home, the first thing I'm going to do is move half of those to where it's even.
You know what your biggest problem is? You wait till you get home. You're supposed to eat that sandwich right away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah no,
okay, well.
I don't eat at places.
Also, I wasn't
like
talking about Subway.
Oh, you weren't?
No.
Where would you go far? What other career have you ever had that you would go far in?
In a daycare.
Oh, yeah, in a daycare. You were working your way up to second grade.
Daycare
I'm an office bully.
Grade.
High five. Woo! Yes!
Oh.
I apologize for that last one because you're right. I'm not an office bully. I just was trying to be funny.
No, you are an office bully.
I'm just waiting for somebody inevitably to give us an email. Studio at mystaticradio.com.
Breaking news. Your kid's bedtime doesn't matter, just as long as it's the same bedtime every night.
Okay.
According to a new study reported on Boston.com.
Boston.
Every time a child's body clock is disrupted, so is their brain development. And this is especially true for three-year-olds. Of course, the earlier, the better. A separate study 2 years ago found that the earlier kids go to bed, the less likely they'll be a bunch of fatties.
A bunch of fatties? That's what the study says? That is incredible. Who did the study?
Boston.com.
It was not definitely not Harvard.
No, nope, it was no. Boston. Oh, yeah. Boston.
Boston. Boston. Bunch of fatties.
Bunch of fatties.
My kids go to bed early. They always have.
Yeah, they're anorexic.
They don't
eat. I'm just kidding.
Hey, office bully, my kids are perfect the way they are.
I'm just kidding. They're not at Instagram. Go to Instagram.
Instagram. They're so sweet.
Yeah.
They're wonderful.
They are.
You take that back. They're great children.
Especially that Brody. Do you guys feed him?
What? Yeah, that kid is chubbins. He's a fatty. That kid's a fatty. Thanks, Boston. I'm going to use that word all day now for everything. I just am. It's my new favorite word of the day.
Yeah.
So there you go. You ready, fatty?
Oh. Breaking news. Residents of Portreath, drive in Alice Street.
Wow. Wow.
In England.
See, still working your way up to that second grade. I see what I did there. Went back to the previous joke. Okay.
In England, say a fearless but scary crow has been pecking at their windows, sometimes waking them
pecking.
Up. Pecking at their windows. My contacts are blurry.
He's been pecking. He's like, you know what, guys? I'm out of here. I get my suitcase. I'll see yous later.
Nope.
That's how crows talk.
He's from England.
He's from England?
Yeah.
Oh, right now then. Does he have a monocle?
Yeah.
And he's like pecking by their window?
Yeah. Actually, he's pecking. I'm sorry.
Oh, pecking.
He's
okay. Because he's a crow.
Sometimes waking them up in the middle of the night. I just wanted to read that because that sounds terrifying.
A crow?
A crow.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, excuse me. Quote this raven, nevermore will I stay here. I'm packing, I'm out, I'll see you guys later.
Nevermore.
I don't know why the crow talks
nevermore.
Like this in the UK. He moved.
He moved from
he was trying
from
to get
Boston.
Away. He was trying to get away from the hustle
and, he's like,
and bustle
you know
of the big
you know what?
City.
Nevermore.
Nevermore.
I'm going to go get some coffee, some water, and get me some schmear on my bagel.
Wow.
That's let's leave.
There you go.
Let's
okay,
go.
We're going to go. We're out. Coming up right after Follow As You Lead. We got birthdays this morning.
That's right.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. Jeff Schneewees for you now. Frontman of Number One Gun, his solo project right here. It's from the Closer EP. Check it. Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static.
Steve-O and Mitch in the morning on Static Radio.
Birthdays. It is 6:45. It's time for birthdays. Good morning, Stever.
Morning. How is it you figure I know everyone's birthday?
I don't know. You've been around.
You've never let us down.
As I learned yesterday, He's been around in radio since it was black and white. Hey.
Did somebody make that joke like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and I said, I'm stealing that one. Dan, this guy I met yesterday.
Yeah.
At our
KGGM guy.
Was he from Boston? Yeah.
No, he didn't talk like that at all, actually. That was still the crow. From, it was packed.
Not the crow, but a crow.
A crow, yeah, not the crow.
Do you guys remember KGGM?
No.
It was before KRQE.
Ah, that's cool.
Channel 13.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I don't.
So it's the
7-Eleven.
7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. It is 7-Eleven.
It is.
It's the 192nd day of 2013. Nice. You only got about, what, another 160-some shopping days till Christmas?
Oh, junk. I gotta figure that out.
I'm already done.
What?
Yeah, I'll take care of it in the summer.
Now, Steve-O might know who this first person is.
Ooh, okay. It's a challenge.
I think it might be better just to say his name. That would be more obscure than what he's been in.
Oh.
Stephen Lang.
That's pretty obscure.
Yeah. He was in Avatar and Terra Nova.
Oh, okay, Stephen Lang. He would be the perfect Cable if they were going to make a Cable movie. Of course, everyone knows who Cable is. He's my favorite comic book character.
Yeah.
Cable.
He was kind of the security guy in Terra Nova and the military leader guy on Avatar, right?
He was the general in Terra Nova. He was like the head
who
of
was
the
he in
camp.
Avatar?
Yeah.
He's the guy. He's the he's hulked out and he's got gray, like silver hair.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Salt pepper.
Yeah.
Okay. Dude.
Steely eyes.
Yeah.
Is that the way to say
a scary knife.
67.
A scary knife.
Yeah, it's a scary knife.
62.
62? Mm-hmm. I'm hoping he just is young and he looks fit, bro.
He
57.
Does. In 365 days, he'll be 62.
Oh. Yes. And no.
No.
So, looks good.
Yeah. What else has he been in?
Hopefully the Cable movie.
Oh.
I'm telling you, he'd be great. No. Is this the Pointer Sisters?
It is. Wow.
Shut up.
Wow.
Yes. Come on. That was a pretty good guess.
Yeah.
Bonnie Pointer today is having a birthday.
Nope. Do you remember the Pointer Sisters?
Nope.
That one. I can't sing this song.
You just try. That was good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Bonnie Pointer.
Bonnie Pointer is 57.
60.
60. 63.
Ah! Dang it.
Yeah. Should we wait for the hook?
No.
Okay.
No.
So far, the lyrics have not been fantastic.
This was written to her husband.
Yeah, well, let's let's move on.
Michael Pointer.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, right.
Michael
Pointer.
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't get John any music Pointer. For this next one. I don't know if there would have been appropriate music, but it just says this. Actually, the name would probably be more obscure.
Oh.
Mindy Sterling.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who?
That's not the chick from The Office, right?
No, it's Frau.
That's birthday's already happened.
Farbissina.
Oh, Frau Farbissina.
What?
The domineering German or Germanic cohort of Dr. Evil in the Austin Powers movie.
The Incredibles. The Incredibles?
Oh, really?
No capes.
Oh.
She even looks like her.
Is it Miss Bones? Miss
right?
Madam Bones. Madam.
I don't remember.
And she like walks around and she looks like she has a mop on her head.
Right.
Okay. Is that what she looks
what
like?
What she looked like in
a
Dr.
dark
Evil.
Mop.
I mean in Austin Powers. However, a Dr. Evil movie would have been pretty great too.
Okay.
Okay. She is
62.
65.
60.
Ah!
Dang it!
You guys were so close. Almost.
I know.
You'll probably get this one though.
We're getting close.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi.
Wow. It's not John's birthday.
Dude, come on.
It's not.
Who else is next?
Dude. Yeah, Richie Sambora.
Richie Sambora today is celebrating a birthday.
Can we just... Come on. You gotta give
Bon Jovi's
me something
birthday.
For that. That was really good.
Yeah. I think Bon Jovi's birthday already happened.
I heard 0.4 seconds of it and knew.
That was pretty good.
It was still like the wind.
It was like dust. No, that
dude,
was dust.
I mean, it's all the same.
Whatever.
Yeah. You know? Oh, man.
I thought I was watching Deadliest Catch or something.
No, dude. If anything, it'd be like Young Guns.
No, Deadliest Catch. This is the opening song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I've never seen Deadliest Catch.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all the same. I'm doing this for karaoke this year. Only the names have changed.
Okay, so it's Richie Sambora's birthday.
62.
No, 60.
I know.
Does he look that bad?
He's 54.
He's 54.
Dang it.
No way. That does not count.
Yeah. I'm just going to leave the music playing while I tell you it's okay. Rapper Lil' Kim's birthday.
Thank you.
That's probably
Thank
a
you.
Good thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, maybe we should do this, though.
Oh, no. I'm afraid.
No, don't be. Don't be. Go ahead. Lil' Kim's birthday.
30.
Lil' Kim's birthday.
37.
Lil' Kim is 42.
Yesterday, she was 37.
Dang it!
Yeah. Okay. I actually have music for the next one, so...
No, man!
No, no.
The dogs!
No,
can't play any Lil' Kim.
No. Pretty much gonna go this route.
From Massive Attack.
Yeah. From House.
Yeah.
Once and Again and The Fugitive.
Hugh Laurie.
On the House, she played House's ex.
House's ex. Yeah. Is it? I watched like the first three episodes of season one.
Her name is Sayla Ward.
In real life?
She played fugitive. Doctor, what's his name? Played his wife that got killed in The Fugitive.
With Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Man. Okay, so then at least that was longer ago, so she is 49.
53. 57.
Ah!
And let's see, from Wipeout and Talk Soup?
Yes. What is that dude's name?
He's John Henson.
John Henson. He's with the other guy.
The Soups.
Yeah, he's... Hey.
Yeah.
And the other guy was from ESPN, from SportsCenter.
What's his name?
Not Trey Wingo. What is his name? It doesn't even matter. It's not his birthday.
John Henson's birthday.
I really like the soup. Okay.
42.
No. 38.
46.
Oh,
how could I be
both wrong.
So
wrong? I was closer.
Both wrong.
Bryce is right. I win.
Yeah. from Alias... From Felicity?
Jennifer
wow. Two shows I've never seen.
And from this show, Heroes.
There was a... Ali Larder.
No, it's the guy who played the cop.
Guy who played...
The cop on Heroes.
Oh! Michael. His name is Michael or Matthew.
Greg Grunberg.
Yes.
But his name in Heroes. Is it Michael or Matthew?
He's a dude that could like...
He was the cop.
42.
I'm
just going to
keep saying
45.
It's 47.
Ah!
47.
Oh, this is
right.
The worst.
No more birthdays today. We do have
really?
We do have one inanimate
thieves.
Object. One inanimate object.
You want to know why I said thieves? Pink Floyd.
On this date in 1955.
The dollar bill was invented.
Pink Floyd released this song.
No money.
This phrase was added to all U.S. currency.
In God we trust.
Yep.
That's cool. In 1950 what?
Five.
Wow.
That's not very long ago.
Same age as a T-Bird.
Pretty crazy. That was around the time that Elvis came around, which is funny. There's some irony to that.
Isn't it ironic that that's about the time that we like super started not trusting in God as a country?
Really? How was that?
Well, it's just, you know, it's
1955. It's a pretty good year.
Then it kind of went downhill, didn't it?
I don't know.
I wasn't around. I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Neither.
Okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
So that's it. That's it.
Today's also, hold on, let me cheer us up.
Okay, good, because we need something.
Today, Today's Cheer Up the Lonely Day.
That is hilarious. Is it really?
Yeah. It's okay. Also Blueberry Muffin Day.
Oh, and that's exactly what you do. You bake some blueberry muffins and you give them to the lonely. Who are the lonely exactly?
I don't know. I'm feeling pretty lonely right now.
Cheer up the lonely.
I'm just lonely.
All right. We'll hook you up a blueberry muffin from Sopo. Will that help you? That make your day better?
If you get it for me.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Coming up at 7:30, our dear friend, Daniel Lesko. going to be hanging with us and talking about his movie. You know?
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Cheer up the lonely day. Cheer up the lonely day.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's okay.
You're going to be doing that in Mexico for a few weeks. Cheering up the lonely.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. We got to take a quick break.
Good.
Right back.
So sad.
Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static.
Steve-O and Mitch in the morning.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
On Static Radio.
Good morning.
Hey.
Welcome back. Steve-O and Mitch. It is Thursday, 7:06.
You said everything I was going to say.
So hey. Cool. All right.
I was like, and.
Okay, what do you want to say now?
I just want to thank the
Academy?
Academy for everything that they're doing.
I want to thank the Academy for getting me to watch this movie I'm currently watching because Daniel Day-Lewis won Best Actor for it, and everybody's been telling me I have to watch it. So last night I finally started watching There Will Be Blood. I'd never seen it. And joining me in studio, like one of the few people I will actually go to for real movie critique.
Real?
Yeah. Daniel Lesko joining us in studio.
Hey,
man.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a privilege.
Okay, here's what I need to know. First and foremost, we go way back. We've been friends for more years than I want to say, actually, because that would make us old. But you're, you know, we did this little fun film many, many moons ago. Mm-hmm. And since then, I went on to do this local radio show. And you, sir, are crazy awesome doing lots of things in Hollywood and everywhere. And you're like, hey, I just made this movie. Yeah,
it all stems back to working with Steve.
It all stems back to me. So since you're riding my coattails anyways, I got to know.
I should be so lucky.
Do I finish There Will Be Blood?
That's a film, I don't know if I can endorse it or anything like that. And I certainly won't, but I think Daniel Day-Lewis is the finest actor. In fact, I think I may have mentioned that.
Well, since then, I had this, I just shaved it. I got to show you this photo. I had this gnarly handlebar mustache, right? And everywhere, I got Gangs of New York and There Will Be Blood, and people said, oh, Daniel Day-Lewis, you look like Daniel Day-Lewis.
And that thing. Super Mario.
Where faith meets ambition, there will be blood. That's the tagline. And it's a great film. I think the character study alone is worth the journey. So,
I'm about an hour in, and my wife was like, there will be blood, because I think I'm bored to death, and I had to turn it off.
There's the joke.
She was just, that's the joke. That's
there
my wife.
There it is.
That wasn't a joke. That was her tweet last night when I was forcing her to watch it, and she was so bored to tears. I'm like, come on! It'll get good!
When it comes to the showdown,
when the Transformers...
they won't be there.
We were waiting for the Transformers to show up, and but it was the 1900s, so we assume they're going to be like really old, like Model T Transformers. Mm-hmm. So it'll be different. No, I'm just kidding. That was pretty great, but getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
Daniel Day-Lewis is fantastic in that movie, but compared to you in Thievery Conspiracy,
thank you, man.
I mean, let's
be honest.
Can't hold a candle to your flame.
We did this movie. It was called Thievery Conspiracy. And
tell us about your character.
I played a character who was really just a bad, bad man.
Did you
have
one?
Conniving? Did I have lines?
I've never seen
Come on.
I never saw it.
I was the antagonist.
Steve.
Are you kidding me?
I'm sorry. I did not know who you were.
Look, acting 101, we tell you, don't judge a character, Steve.
Yeah. I wasn't a bad guy, per se. I just really cared about me and money. Does that mean I'm a bad guy?
Does that mean you are a bad guy?
I was very self. Thank you. Thank you, Wreck-It Ralph.
So, Michelle, tell us about your acting.
Yes, let's talk about your aspirations.
You're going to be in this next movie.
I'm going to be holding a sign.
You're going to be holding a sign?
I'm going to be thrusting my fist.
Throwing a fist?
Yes.
Wow, you're a terrible protester.
No, I'm amazing. I'm amazing. You don't know, but I am amazing.
I'm about to start a protest for you being in the movie because I wanted to succeed.
Nobody does it like she does.
Yeah, this is, wow.
Basically what's going to happen is that there's going to be like, she's amazing. They're going to blur everyone out but me.
Wow. No, what's going to happen is they're going to put you in the crowd and be like, hey, let's move you over here. And then there's going to be four signs in front of you, and you're going to be like, why can't? Where? I'm behind that sign!
And they'll be like, hey!
I'm the one behind that sign!
Hey, Mitch, can you go get some water? I'd be like, yeah, no problem. Like, nope, you just don't want me there.
So, Daniel, you've been doing a lot of things. I was actually looking yesterday on IMDb. First of all, I'm just jealous that you have an IMDb. I don't have an IMDb. I want to have an IMDb just so I could be like, yeah, that's what I do.
I will commit this to you.
Okay.
On this next movie, uh-huh. I will get you an IMDb.
I want an IMDb.
Or make my best effort.
There you go. Thank
now,
you.
Now, with IMDb, you have to know there's an approval process.
Okay.
Could get rejected.
So they could just say no. I mean, my arm is in Terminator Salvation. Does that count?
Yeah.
You're like, right arm running, yeah. Terminator Salvation.
Why don't you get an IMDb credit for that one? That was a great story.
Uncredited.
McG,
you know, come on. I was like on set with like the first, you know, line of people. McG directed my arm running.
That's huge.
So big. So big.
Better than ever me directing.
Yeah. Daniel Lesko in studio with us, and you're working on a film. In fact, a while back, actually, we had you on Shock Therapy Live with myself and Pastor Nate Heitzig, and we were talking about it. We had Kevin Sorbo on, who at the time it was like, Kevin Sorbo. And then throughout this process, things change, actors change, the movie changes, and now I'm looking at it, and I was trying to just be chill and cool, but all of a sudden it's like, no, this part is being played by James Remar, who is Harry in Dexter, a show that I, you know, have never seen, of course, but I heard it's outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
James Remar! You got James Remar!
Yeah.
This is amazing!
He's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah.
We're really lucky to have him. He was in Django Unchained, but he did Dexter for several seasons, and I can't say enough about him. He's wonderful to work with.
Now, he's playing the part of the evangelist, John Luther, and I remember, I got to know, how much has the script changed? Because I've seen the evolution as you work on film and as things progress and move forward. While back, we did a reading. How close is it to that reading, or how much has it changed since then?
I think the core structure and a lot of it is, you know, it's what it was, but what I like to do as we get closer to preparation is I like to listen to the actors and see what they think and, you know, absorb their ideas. And then there's an adaptation when you're out on the location and things come to you. I think that this is one where I think the plot is strong. The characters have evolved and developed and come into their own. But how close is it to the original? You know, I think it kind of always is that, but it is a living organism.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
You're an artiste. This is why I love you. So, Persecuted production actually is beginning. You're saying shooting begins
tomorrow.
Manana.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
That's right.
The shooting begins.
That's right. Yeah, we're geared to go. We were just in rehearsals with Bruce Davison from X-Men yesterday and James Remar, and the guys are just geared up to go. It's like dealing with two racehorses just before they shoot
out
of the gate. You know,
man.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And we're really, really lucky. Got an incredible team. We've got not just those two guys, but we have Dean Stockwell from, you know, Air Force One, who's an incredible actor. Fred Thompson from Secretariat, and he also did Die Hard 2. Raul Trujillo, the lead villain from Apocalypto, and I mean, unforgettable actor. He's playing one of the darker characters in the story, but, you know, we've just got an incredible ensemble cast. It's going to be great. And the cool thing is that, you know, if you're listening, you can actually come out and be a part of it. You can come out and be an extra, and we are inviting listening audience. And, you know, if you do come out and you stay the time, then we actually are giving out passes to an eventual premiere that we're going to hold here in New Mexico for, you know, you and a guest. And we'd love to have you. You know?
Yeah, dude. Okay, so you got a couple different days that you're shooting that you need extras for this film. And what does it take? How can people get involved? How can people get signed up? How can they become extras? Yes.
Yeah.
I know.
I just wanted.
But there's actually a human being in the studio.
Yeah, I have Joni here with me, who's our extras coordinator, and she has. We've set up a specific phone for people to call in and email people to reach, and then she can sort of dial them in and get them all worked out. And I don't know if you wanted to give that out, would you?
Yeah.
Sure. It's going to be persecutedextras@gmail.com is the email that you can email your information to. Just email your name and how many people you want to show up.
Okay.
If you're interested, whatever, and we'll get you everything that you need to know for that day that you want to show up.
Have you gotten any crazy emails like, yeah, I was on set of this movie and I was totally persecuted because the email address is persecuted extras. So have you had any, any extras like actually like send you an email saying that I was on the set with Christian Bale and he was a total jerk and I was so persecuted? No, nothing like that yet.
No, nothing like that.
Okay, sweet. I really hope you get those actually. But persecutedextras@gmail.com if you're interested in being a part of this film. And man, you've been doing a lot. I was looking at your IMDb and I noticed, like, not just this film, you've had a few films already.
Yeah, I just finished a movie in Nashville with Casper Van Dien from Starship Troopers, and another incredible cast. Jackie Velasquez played a part. We had Brad Stein, who's you know, one of the best comedians out there. And it's called 11 Seconds. It's being promoted through the Verizon Network as a campaign against texting and driving.
Okay.
It's a crime drama.
Okay.
And we're just finishing up the cut on that one, and we've got a few more in the works.
Okay.
So
where can people find information on your life other than IMDb? Because I just went to IMDb and found everything I needed, apparently, about all of the awesomeness that you're doing. But
pray more.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I guess IMDb is probably the best way to do it. I mean, I don't like people stalking me. So. Yeah. Right. No, I'm just joking.
That makes sense.
Not that people are, but yeah.
If you did like it, we'd have to worry.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, you've been doing so much, and it's fantastic to see this come to fruition. I remember, honestly, going all the way back.
Actually, here's the irony, is I kind of do want people stalking me because we want extras to come
this
out
is true.
And be
true.
On our set.
Yeah,
so
persecutedextras@gmail.com.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's really cool to see the progression and see, I mean, you've had a passion, obviously, for this. Me and Pastor Nate were talking about this yesterday on Shock Therapy Live, that, you know, for this little film that we did, I don't even remember. It was a little short that we did, but I think the extras were longer than the actual short themselves of you just pouring out the passion behind Thievery Conspiracy, just talking about the story and the everything. And so you've always had this great passion, and it's cool to see God use you in this way and your talents being just thrown out there to the masses for something like this. Persecuted. For those that don't know the story about Persecuted, real quick, because I know people usually just get excited that something's being filmed in New Mexico in general and want to be an extra, but tell people the story, the basis of this film. Get people amped on it that they'll want to be a part of this movie.
Well, I think especially with what's happening around the world right now, I think anyone can relate to feeling persecuted, whether it's for your beliefs or whether it's for your
cause.
Yeah. For where you are in life, there is a lot of persecution going on. But this story is about an evangelist who stands up, an uncompromising man that you can relate to, a guy like William Wallace in Braveheart, who stood up for something he believed in, and he paid everything for it, and he's hunted. And this evangelist goes on the run to try and prove the truth, to try and prove his innocence. And there's a series of reactions that are incredibly strong from the government to try and silence him.
Amazing.
And we have, so I think, it's very core. It's an uncompromising man who becomes a man on fire.
Yeah.
And we have, I mean, incredible team surrounding this. I mean, I have an Oscar-winning producer, Gray Fredrickson, who produced The Godfather. My stunt coordinator, did Steven Spielberg stunts on War of the Worlds. So we've got some of the best people in the industry lined up. A lot of people who've come in from Breaking Bad and Ranger.
Yeah.
So New Mexico has such an incredible cast base. We did bring a lot of, some of the world's best character actors in that I just mentioned. But New Mexico in and of itself, what makes this film kind of different is that usually we're helping Hollywood make their movies.
Right.
In this case, it's from the ground up. I developed this. The above the line team, the producers, everyone involved, has really supported this film here from New Mexico, and we'll even be premiering it here in New Mexico. And that's why we want to, and Static Radio from the very get go has supported and pushed this. And I'm just incredibly grateful.
Yeah, man, we're definitely stoked. I think it's definitely pertinent considering all that you see going on in our U.S. government right now. You look at the IRS, you look at everything going on, and then you have this story that you're putting together that has been in the works for years about persecution of Christian faith.
It's funny
by the U.S. government.
When I first wrote this script, you know, 3-4 years ago, and I had people read it, they would say, "Gosh, you really think this could happen here in the U.S.? Or do you feel like that this sort of, you know, corruption is possible?" They're like, "Are you sure?" And I was like, "No, I'm pretty sure."
Yeah.
And now, like,
there it is.
3 years later, and then everyone's like, "This is what's happening." They're like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah.
You know, so
you got to get
crazy.
This story out.
You
it's
know,
good.
And no matter, really, this is, you know, might sound like this is, it's not a political film, really. It's not a partisan with the Republican or the Democrat. This evangelist is not either of those.
Right.
And so if you're sitting here listening to this and you're going, "Oh man, is this some sort of like political agenda?" It really isn't at its core. It's like, I want to take the audience through what it would feel like to be persecuted. And I think, you know, at its core, that's the highest level of entertainment we hope to achieve.
Yeah.
So anyone can relate to that.
Dude, I'm absolutely stoked on it. We will have all the information at our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/mystaticradio, if you're interested in being part of this film. July 30th and August 2nd, the two dates that you guys will need extras for. Mm-hmm. You need quite a bit of extras. So
we need like hundreds.
Yeah. So, anybody who is interested in being a part of the film, I'm sure once they contact you, they'll have the information they need as far as attire and whatnot and everything. And yay.
Bring your green hat.
There you go. There it is. Daniel Lesko, persecuted. And we will continue to chronicle this as the film is being made. And as I said, July 30th, August 2nd, if you'd like to be a part of it, persecutedextras@gmail.com, which is still my favorite email address ever. Or 505-220-5326. And that's for Joni. Now, obviously, you are very, very busy, so I would say if they don't get a hold of you through the phone, they should probably just email, right? That'd be a better way for them to get a hold?
Yeah, emails are really great for me. I mean, it even comes up on my phone, and I can answer it pretty fast.
Okay, good. So,
if you don't get a response through the phone, try through email.
Yeah.
In fact, I would say just use email first.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Okay, persecutedextras@gmail.com. Dude, thanks, man.
Thank you
so much for this.
This is amazing.
Yeah. And
we'll see you on set.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, you will. And we'll definitely be chronicling this more and more and more. So facebook.com/mystaticradio. We have all the information there.
Steve-O and Mitch in the morning, making your commute suck less.
Are we there yet?
No.
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 Are we there
well,
yet?
As much as we can anyway. 6 to 10 on Static Radio.
There are cicadas everywhere, all over the road. All over the road. Be careful.
No, they are not.
They're everywhere.
However, we did just see a bird totally like gnar down on a
to a grasshopper.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I was like, oh, hi.
That was just happening. We just saw that. That was pretty awesome.
Birds swooping in on the freeways and getting grasshoppers
everywhere. I got the Discovery Channel out our window. It's pretty amazing.
Pretty cool. Actually, there's just construction work on Barstow at San Francisco and Unser and I-40. It's a little bit slow going on Paseo by I-25 both ways. And that's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast, right here on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669.
Is that happening?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Why?
They even got Brad Dorff back to play the voice of Chucky.
Oh, my gosh.
We have random half conversations on the air. Do you like that?
I'm sorry. I just opened up IMDb.
It is summer movie time.
Curse of Chucky.
Yeah.
The first time I saw that movie, I was like 6.
I'm so sorry. Wow. Your parents.
Not my parents. My older brother and sister.
Awesome.
Yeah. They're about your age.
Yeah. I was in the third grade, and I was invited to a sleepover across the street at a new friend, you know. And my mom's like, "Go! We're new in the neighborhood, and we're new to New Mexico, and you're going to have a blast." And,
blasty blast.
And all the stuff. And I went over there, and unfortunately, his parents, like that family, they didn't care. They weren't believers. They weren't. And my first experience ever watching a horror movie, sadly.
Was Chucky?
No, it wasn't Chucky. It was Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, I think, or something. I did not sleep for a week! Anyways.
Yeah, I think Chucky was probably my first scary movie, and then the next one was that Leprechaun movie?
Oh, wow. With Jennifer Aniston.
Was Jennifer Aniston?
Yes, she's the lead in Leprechaun, yes.
I just remember being terrified of these little, yeah. It was awful.
Thankfully, there are good movies coming out. We were talking with Daniel Lesko from Persecuted. In fact, if you'd like to be an extra, locally here in Albuquerque, July 30th and August 2nd, persecutedextras@gmail.com. That sounds fun, man.
Yeah.
Just being a part of a movie. They need a couple hundred people. So.
They do. I will post all the info at our facebook.com/mystaticradio.
There you go. It is Trivia Thursday, and we're going to be doing that coming up. We got some cool things up for grabs, like a copy of the brand new record from the Almost. We also have some iPhone cases.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we're going to be giving those away at some point
today.
I'm excited about that. We got to take a quick break, though. But coming back, yes, Trivia Thursday. Get your dialing fingers ready to score some pretty cool stuff. And, we'll talk a little bit about tipping. We went out to dinner last night.
We did.
Found a story, found a question, and that's on the way back. Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static.
Steve-O and Mitch in the morning. Fun for the whole family. On Static Radio.
Good morning.
Hi.
Steve-O and Mitch.
Hey, what's up?
Static Radio. It is Thursday.
It's just after 8 o'clock.
Yes.
We do this every week.
It's truth.
Clay Schroff, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi.
How's it going, man?
You guys are always here.
It's true.
I come here late in the afternoon to do something.
And we're here.
And there you are.
Yeah, we're here. Yeah, we saw you yesterday. You're on Peter Benson's show, ABQ Connect.
We do that every week. We can't call it Wednesday's Child. I've been instructed because it's patented. So it's the Aspen Child.
It's patented. Somebody invented Wednesday's Child.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But it's okay because we still love those people.
Yeah. It's not copyrighted, it's patented.
I don't know what they
say. I don't either. It's trademarked.
Paris Hilton.
It's, yes, she invented Wednesday's children.
Yeah,
she invented children on Wednesday.
Remember how she, like, trademarked that phrase, that's hot?
No.
Nope, you weren't. Just,
no, sorry.
I said that before she was born.
True.
So, Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project, you come in here every week. We talk a lot about, foster, adopting, mentoring children. Excited to have you here this week, my friend.
Hey, you know what this month is for the Aspen Project?
What?
Kind of a new project. Kind of a little... This is what we're doing.
Okay.
We are teaming with Sunday school teachers.
Okay.
And, or you know, like in your church, everyone, they drop off your kids with the nursery or the kids go to their thing. We need people to volunteer. And they said, Clay, don't tell them we need them. Just if they're called to go. But let me just tell you, you know, I served in the children's ministry as a shepherd for 7 years and Michelle for 9.
Okay.
And we were always, always, always in need of people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's no easier, better way to mentor a child and imprint Christ on their heart. I now have teenagers that go, I remember you. And they remember me from teaching them in Sunday school. And it's a time that you get to go in and it's... You know, people say, I don't have time to go to the juvenile detention center. I'm not sure I'm called to bring in a child to my home and foster them. I don't think I can adopt a child that's not mine. We'll get you past that.
Yeah.
But the great first step is I want people to get plugged in. Whatever church you go to,
yeah.
I want you to go to them and say, how do I serve in the children's ministry?
I'm feeling that firsthand right now, actually. Our church, our children's leader, he... had a job that called him to a different state, unfortunately, pretty abruptly. And so right now at our church, we just have parents every week go, I'll lead the lesson this week. And so we have like a sign-up sheet with just parents because we don't even have a children's leader right now at our church. This is what happens, you know, when you have a church of 100.
But you know what, though? God right now is working on somebody's heart.
Yeah.
They're calling them into the ministry.
That's our prayer.
And you know what? They look at... All of us look at the children's ministry as like an entry level or a below step to ministry, and it's not. But you're raising up your next generation.
Amen.
And these kids are getting ready to go into junior high school, college, where they're going to be inundated with information that's contrary to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an opportunity. To go in and touch a child in such a way, to love on them and let them know that they're loved. You know, a lot of those kids in there are fatherless or motherless.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely don't know God.
Yeah.
A lot of it's a babysitting. You know, it's the weekly obligation of the parents, and it gives you a chance to let them know that they're truly loved by the master of the universe, which just rocks.
And we're not talking about He-Man.
Nope.
What's we're not?
That? No, well, no, because he says he's the master of the universe, and he's got the sword, and that's not who we're talking
I
about.
I don't know who you're talking about.
He-Man?
Nope.
You don't know who He-Man is?
Nope.
Wow.
Is he?
I cannot wait. Can I just say, plug for Monday, we got a new co-host coming in. His name's Matt Lott, bassist for House of Heroes.
And neither of you have lives, so you know who He-Man is. So you recall
actually
all day long.
We lived in the glory years of childhood, apparently, where there were cool things like He-Man.
What a name.
He-Man.
What a name.
He-Man, he's got like a yellow bowl cut hair.
Hey, let's be honest, that cartoon's horrible.
It's terrible.
That's horrible.
It's really bad. But when I was a kid, I thought it was fantastic.
Yep.
By the power of Grayskull, I have the power.
Did you ever watch Shazam?
No, I didn't.
No.
Wonder Twins.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Activate.
That's
unite.
Good.
Wonder Twins Unite.
What yeah, was it?
Wonder
I remember. Yeah. I'll turn into a purple monkey.
Yeah.
Full House.
Hey,
Family
back
Matters,
to back
time.
To Sunday
back
School.
To things that
these
matter.
Are the cool things.
Things that matter. This is exactly why we need to talk about this, because I grew up the product of a single mom who was working all the time, so I was at home being babysat by He-Man. So this is why we need mentors. This is why we need people, because I have a vast array of knowledge about absolutely nothing. So you know.
So this is what you're saying to yourself. You're driving or you're listening at work, and you're saying. These guys are crazy, and you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
But how do I get plugged in? You know what? You just call your church, and you say, I want to serve in the children's ministry. How do I get plugged in?
Yeah.
Because each church is a little different, but every church needs you. And it's not an entry level. It's truthfully, it's something that will impact your church for years and years and years to come. So please get plugged in.
Yeah.
And, you know, God's calling each and every one of us to minister.
Amen.
90% of the work gets done by about 5% of the people.
Exactly.
So
it's the they syndrome.
Well, the hard part is, here's to be honest, you know, our church, as I said, we're a smaller church. And I think what happens is in those situations where the workers are few, and the workers are few everywhere, it doesn't matter, small church, ginormous church, whatever, the workers are few. And unfortunately, I think the people don't want to volunteer because they think, well, I'd like to help out this Sunday, but does that mean they're going to expect me every Sunday? Am I going to be sucked into this black hole of ministry? Which is a really crappy attitude to have,
totally.
To be honest. And so if that's your attitude toward ministry, maybe you shouldn't be in ministry. But unfortunately, there's so many people who say, I'd like to help out when I can, but if I help out now, does that mean I'm always going to have to help out? Does that mean you're not going to continue to find people who want to serve? And sadly, you're right. 5% of the people doing all the work. And so we are calling people to step up, help out wherever you're at. Doesn't matter if it's Calvary Albuquerque. It doesn't matter. Whatever church it's at, wherever you're at, serve. Serve.
Be well, and die to yourself.
Yeah.
God doesn't call us, you know. God never promised being a Christian to be easy.
Right.
And I hear so many excuses after excuse as to why people aren't going where God is calling them. Mm-hmm. And let me just say this. If you're not going where God is calling you, if you're not doing what God has asked you to do, you're missing out on life's awesome adventure.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, as we talk about it not being easy, somehow, oddly enough, it is, because what happens is he's going to call you in an area and he's going to equip you beforehand. He promises that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. If you're heavy, if you're weary, you come to Jesus, and though there will be trials, there will be tribulations, though there will be hardships, he will give you the strength you need. He will give you the guidance, the wisdom. He will give you the it's so incredible. So it's like this weird thing of, well, yeah, it's going to be difficult, but actually in reality, it's not going to be difficult, because through him, we can accomplish anything and everything by the strength that God gives us. It can be done, but we get weary and we start thinking, you know, stupid thoughts and feeling sorry for ourselves and us, we. Why is this so difficult? And it doesn't have to be.
Do you know why people get weary?
Why?
Because there's 5% of us doing 90% of the work.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If everyone that heard this broadcast right now, and it may not be the children's ministry, but, you know, that's our goal.
Some, yeah.
Just, you know what? ask God where he's leading you and go. Don't wait. There's no mistakes. God doesn't want us to be cautious when it comes to the things of God.
Yeah.
You know what? He will provide provision. Every time we take in a child, I sell more cars.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, God has blessed us abundantly when it came to that. You know, we start the Project Zoe, and I'm paying the rent. And you go, oh, how can I afford the 1,200 square feet that's going to be sitting there for probably 6 months before we actually get the turnkey, or at least 3 months? And how are we going to do that? And God says, this is a project that I've put in your hands. Go. Yeah. And it's amazing how each and every month God has provided.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude. Right on. AspenProject.org if you'd like to learn more information on how you can get involved. Now, you do this on our sister station, but let's focus. Yesterday, you had a child that you were talking about. You guys do this every week with Aspen Project. The child of the week.
Yeah.
There's a different focus. Child. Yeah, Aspen's child. As I said, you know, yesterday you were on our sister station talking about
Catalina.
The week.
Catalina, she's 15 years old.
Okay.
I hope she's listening.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
And, hey, Catalina.
What's up?
And, you know, she enjoys normal teen stuff like Facebooking.
Okay.
She's really big into her wardrobe.
Okay.
So she would do really well with the Project Zoe.
Absolutely.
Fashion.
Yeah.
And, you know, most young girls are. But she's 15 years old. That means she's probably going to be in somebody's house for the next 4 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let's just count it there.
Okay.
Right? And then she enters into the world.
Yeah.
And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of kids, just like Catalina. By the way, go to our Facebook page. Check her out. And if you're not even considering foster care adoption, do me a favor. Like it and tell us that you're praying for her.
Right.
She needs to know, or we need to know, that there are people praying over these kids. But
yeah.
I don't want them to age out in the system. I don't want them to enter into their adulthood years without a mom and a dad.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, raising kids is hard, and I know that.
Bridget!
I know that, but yeah. Here's the truth. You know, if we can do that and raise them up and teach them about God and imprint Christ on their heart, people like Catalina are going to go into the world knowing that they're loved.
Yeah, it's so much more rewarding than it is work. I mean, constantly, just with my own kids, it's amazing. It is definitely hard work, but it's so rewarding.
Well, all the other things that we're working for, whatever it is, there's a listener right now that's going, man, I got to make this to make that or whatever. Yeah. The money, the things, all of those are going to rust, burn, thieves can steal. But these children, if you can imprint Christ hard enough on their heart that they make him Lord and Savior of their life, we get to take them with us to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, how awesome is it going to be when we get to heaven? The glory of God, and then we get to see those that we loved.
Yeah.
With us.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very thankful for people who took the time when I was a kid. I was a horrible kid. and I remember I had a youth pastor that passed through our little town in Montana, and he loved me anyhow. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He took me under his wing, and he didn't care that I was who I was. And, you know, that was just one of those imprints that made it so that I wanted to come back to Christ.
Yeah. Dude, AspenProject.org, information there. Clay Schroff, thank you so much. Next week, well, I'll see you, but you won't see her. She'll be in Mexico.
With my daughter.
With your daughter.
You know, that's real quick, you know that's a project that we're going to start doing vacations with a purpose?
Yes.
Congratulations, and God bless you for entrusting your daughter to the care of Mitch.
Oh, no. They're sending my daughter to look after Mitch.
Yeah, she really takes care of me.
There was a personal back room meeting on that. We needed somebody that was grown up.
Yeah, and they also needed someone out there who was gonna make sure everyone knows it's her birthday next Tuesday.
God bless you. That was hilarious.
Isn't that funny? This is the second time she's been on a mission trip.
Isn't it her golden year?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
16 on 16?
Oh, we have the same birthday. That's cool. My birthday is July 16th. You tell her that that's awesome.
I'm going to not even mention you that day.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Yep. Hey, right, Project sweet. 52.
Project 52, yes.
Please go to our Facebook page. It's we are going to get a chance to sign a petition that makes it so that the state of New Mexico can no longer do late-term abortions.
Amazing.
And even though we want to abolish all of it, this is a great start. Please, please, please get involved. And I have names and numbers and people to contact on there. If you're a church, tell your church, get them involved.
Yeah.
15,000 signatures needed so that we can even vote on it. Please help.
Project 52, late-term abortion petition. Got to change that. So Facebook.com/MySaticRadio can get all the information there.
Steve-O and Mitch in the morning.
I bet they put all the stuff that sucks on in the morning just to, like, get us to go to school. I think it's working.
Static Radio.
A big thank you to Texas Roadhouse.
Yes.
Got to do a listener dinner last night.
With us.
Yeah. Scott and Wendy and their kids, and we were there, and Keith, the manager, super rad dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the story, and it reminded me, because last night, you know, it was the, well, it's the end, and they were helping us, you know, so that we could do these cool listener dinners.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came time for the tip, you still got a tip.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Ah.
You should.
Well, I found the story about tipping. I didn't realize this. Tipping actually has been around since the late 19th century. It was condemned as bribery and quickly banned when it first came about.
Weird.
Right. Now, this article says they think that we had the right idea back then, and we should have never talked this into acceptance again in America, but apparently they say tipping is awful for restaurant employees because they've completely taken away wages now for employees, and also not for customers' pleasantries either, because then you're stressed out, you got to figure out the tip, you got to...
Right.
So this guy wrote this article and is trying to perpetuate the end of tipping. So here's the question. Is it time to end tipping? Would it be better if servers had a guaranteed hourly wage? Waiters, waitresses, would you want that? 505-338-3700 or a set amount? According to this article, Brian Palmer, he wrote this article at Slate.com. He recommends two practices. One, announce your tipping practice to your server as soon as you sit down.
What? That's so weird.
You're like, hey, hi, can I get you guys something to drink? Yes.
I tip 15%.
I would like you
more.
To know 50%?
15%.
Oh, 15%. Really?
No, I don't.
You really want to say that to them at the very beginning?
Like, no, I don't.
I want you to know, no matter how good or bad the service is, I am going to give you flat 20% across the board, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a terrible idea, personally.
I do, too. I think.
505-338-3700. He also says, secondly, tip a flat but reasonably generous dollar amount per person in your party. A server's pay shouldn't be linked to whether or not you have room for dessert, he says. So if there's five of you and you say, okay, we're going to tip $3. Hey, just so you know, there's five. We're going to tip $3 a person. So that's you're going to get a $15 tip regardless of the service. I don't know that you should do that up front.
No, I feel like that would generate some pretty awful service.
I want to hear from like waiters and waitresses. Would this actually help? Does it hinder? Because to me, tipping is one of those things where it's like, well, the service was great, so we want to tip you. We want to give you a bonus, I guess.
Well, we heard not too long ago from a restaurant in New York that is stopping.
Yeah.
Like, you're not allowed to tip their servers. That's just, they just get paid a little bit more. But I wonder, because sometimes waitressing, being a waiter, gets more money if from the tips. Well, always.
Yeah, because they don't make minimum wage.
Even from a regular job, like going, like, oh, I used to make so much more when I worked at this place. And so, I don't know.
I remember people coming home, you know, I have friends who, you know, in the biz,
mm-hmm.
and would come home with, like, just wads of cash.
Yeah, I was
good
a waitress.
Nights, you know,
yeah.
It was like, the obviously, Friday night, Saturday night, those would be good nights, and come home with these big amount of cash tips, mm-hmm. and it was great for them then, but at the same time, you know, then you get the paycheck, and it's like, I made $63 this week.
Yeah, no, I had a check for $12,
yeah.
usually.
See, I'm telling you, $12? Are you kidding me?
I work the weekends.
Okay.
So $12.
Wow. And then you made your money on your tips.
Exactly.
Well, this guy's saying that it's time to bring the ban. Bring it down on tips. It was banned in the beginning. I can't believe that. It was condemned. It was thought of as bribery, because basically you're bribing your server. Server?
Yeah.
But now he's saying,
it's
you know,
expected.
Here's what you do. You sit down. You let them know ahead of time. This is exactly what you're going to get, no matter what, as if that's going to maybe get you
That'd
good quality
so
service.
Last night, if that were to happen last night, hey, sir, take a seat. We're going to talk to you really fast.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, man. Before you service or do anything, we want you to know, no matter what, you're getting 18 bucks.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's it.
Yeah.
Look how many of us.
18 bucks.
That's it.
There's six of us, $3 a person. You're getting $18. Deal with it.
Yeah.
You think the service would have been good or bad? It was great service.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Yeah. Static.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey. What up?
What up? Dude, I would say no. If it's not broke, don't fix it. It's a great system.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude.
Shane, are you a big tipper?
I manage the restaurant business, and it's like, you know, if you get great service as a patron, and the person's personable, and, you know, it's a great experience, then you want to give them more.
Now, how about this? I'm just going to play, you know, the advocate, Dave Devil.
Advocate?
Yes.
The show of the sentence? Okay, go.
What if somebody's just having a bad night? Because I've had waiters before who it's been kind of crappy service. But maybe they were having a bad day. Not to excuse it, because when you work, you know, Scripture talks about working as unto the Lord. You know, like we're supposed to like have that attitude. Not to say that everybody that waits on you is a Christian. However, like if you work in a job, you should have good work ethic, and you know. But maybe if they're having a bad night, do they deserve less? Because they're still serving you. Maybe it's just you're not getting their best.
But here's the thing, dude. I've heard you on the air sick for 4 days at a time. Do you get a get out of jail free card?
Yeah, I know.
The business
here.
You're in, dude. It's retail.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and in retail, anybody who's worked in the restaurant business goes in at least, I don't know, a couple times a week and doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and walks up to that table with those people that are totally grouchy and think because you're serving them food, they can treat you any way they want.
They can snap their fingers at you. Right.
Okay, and you still have to smile and not let it affect you. And that's something that you learn to do.
You really do learn to
not let it affect you and just do what you need to do.
On that.
So I think that applies across the board to everything that you just said, really.
On the flip side, what to me, how many people, let's be honest, working in that business, how many people just flat don't tip or are poor tippers?
Right.
Who don't care. So you get stiffed. So wouldn't it be beneficial for waiters and waitresses to have a set wage
to where
no matter what, it's not contingent upon some jerk who just decides, I don't tip. Here's your tip. Or they leave a Bible track instead as if that's, you know, like,
sufficient.
It's for your eternal. No, dude, don't do that, because it comes across as crap.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Like,
I
understand
that.
What you're trying to say, and yes, the good news of Jesus Christ is greater than a $6 tip. However, you just come off as cheap. Maybe you leave a $6 tip and a Bible track.
Hey,
there
man,
you go.
That's tip so big, true, because it's then, like, I still, my kids still need warm water and food to eat. You know, I've still got bills to pay.
Yeah, dude.
Right? But no, dude, I really do. I think that, you know, if you had a system like that in place, to your question, Then would that exclude the person that wants to leave you like that $150 tip because they've been coming there for, you know, 10 years. They know that it's your kid's birthday coming up and they want to do something nice for your family. But hey, policy suggests that they can't do that anymore.
You bring up a good point.
Going back to, you have a table of eight or more, so they add gratuity. I feel like they're kind of missing out when they do that, because I'd want to give more, but since they're just making us pay gratuity... it's annoying.
Yeah, you know what?
When
you have like an eight top, or you have something like a big table, a 10 top, something like that, you definitely, they figured in gratuity. But usually people go in above and beyond that, especially when you get a guy that walks to a table like that and remembers everybody's order and doesn't make any mistakes.
Right.
You see that amazing person that walks up, they don't write anything down. They come back and everything's exactly the way it should be. And you're like, dude,
do that?
Yeah.
You are good at what you do, and I'm going to give you $50 because you're amazing. So, you know, and it just goes to that whole thing. When you go out to have a really special evening, like us, I mean, you know, blue-collar, hardworking people, we go out to eat every day. But when we do, it's usually an occasion, and you want it to be special. And when that person does that job, and they're excellent at what they're doing, you want to give them more.
Yeah.
And to think that you'd be slighted, that they'd be slighted, you wouldn't be able to express that thanks in a way that they would appreciate. I don't know. Yeah.
All right.
So, hey, man, love you guys.
Love you too, Shane.
Have a great day.
All right.
Thank you.
505-338-3700. Agree, disagree.
Tipping.
Brian Palmer, he writes for Slate. I don't know. He calls tipping a repugnant custom. He says tipping is awful for restaurant employees. It's not pleasant for customers. And it he says, this is his quote in the article, it perpetuates racism.
What?
He says it gives stereotypes of different races, i.e. African Americans as bad tippers, apparently, is a stereotype. So okay. He says tipping in general perpetuates racism.
That
yes,
was part
he went
of the
there.
Movie Crash.
And should be banned. It was banned in the early or in the late 19th century. It was condemned. They thought of it as bribery. And somehow it's made its way back, he says. He says okay. It should just be banned across the board and we need to end tipping service. Could make a guaranteed hourly wage and a set amount for each person, no matter what. He recommends two practices for now to deal with tipping. He says, announce your tipping practice to your server as soon as you sit down. Virtually every other employee in America knows how much they'll be paid up front. So let them know up front, hey, this is what you're getting. And two, tip a flat but reasonably generous dollar amount per person in your party. A server's pay shouldn't be linked to whether or not you have room for dessert. That's his quote. So agree, disagree, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or, of course, 505-338-3700.
This goes along with the whole minimum wage thing. When everyone voted for minimum wage to be raised,
right,
prices of everything else got higher.
Yeah.
So when tipping goes away, prices of the food at the restaurant are just going to get more. That's a really good point.
It's really good because that's going to, yeah, that will cost the restaurant a lot more.
Yeah.
How many restaurants could actually handle having to pay an employee $12 an hour instead of.
Think about this. We go to a restaurant, we get the chicken strips. It's like $9
right.
for chicken strips and
right.
French fries. Are you kidding me?
No, you're right.
And you pay it.
Yeah, 505-338-3700 or Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Got to take a quick break. Coming right back, more on this. Down with tipping? Should it be banned? Or are you a fan? Take it to Facebook, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static.
Steve-O and Mitch in the morning on Static Radio.
Shout out!
What's up?
To our boy Socks and Sandals listening in Arizona.
Mike Harvey, what's up?
What's up, yo?
Hey.
Steve-O and Mitch, hanging out. He's a truck driver, right?
I think that's what I... From your boy, Thebes.
Yeah, maybe he's driving Twinkies.
Maybe.
Twinkies are making a comeback.
On Monday.
Here's the sad news now.
Oh, no.
All you Twinkie aficionados who are hoping and anticipating the Twinkie making its return and tasting the same.
They changed the formula again?
I've got bad news for you. They didn't change the formula. However, people talk about the supposed longevity of a Twinkie, how basically in the zombie apocalypse there will be cockroaches and Twinkies. I guess that's not the case.
No.
Yeah, that's funny. This article says that very thing. Cockroaches and Twinkies making it in the apocalypse. Turns out Twinkies actually have a relatively short lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And to help with that, for the relaunch of the Twinkie, they're going to pre-freeze the Twinkies before they ship them.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people actually who are bummed saying, whoa, 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 freezer burn, bro. You can't freeze our Twinkies. They're moist. They got to be fresh. So for all of you who are anticipating the return of Twinkie, just know Hostess has said they will now freeze Twinkies and its other snack cakes instead of delivering them immediately to stores. So they're going to...
It's wrong.
Yeah!
It's wrong on
so you could
levels.
Get a Twinkie that's like... I don't know.
I think this one was frozen.
I feel like this was frozen. Because, dude, if it's frozen, then it thaws out. Let's be honest. It's going to get wet. It's going to be gross. It's going to be nasty.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I have a Twinkie in my pantry from the last...
Go-round
with Twinkies.
Why haven't you brought that to work?
Because it's really old.
You know how I feel about Twinkies.
No. It's old. Like, whenever this happened last time,
yeah.
I saved it from... And
gross.
And I have it in my pantry. I can't throw it away because I want to see when it starts changing colors.
Yeah.
And it's not doing so well right now. Like, it's kind of deflated a little bit. It's a little bit it's not as spongy anymore.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
So Twinkie making a return. Sadly, it's not the return you hoped for. On the flip side, found some amazing news about another return that I really hope happens.
What? Are you kidding me?
Russell Crowe, tired of tweets online, finally took to Twitter to respond to the masses saying, dude, please come back. Said he would gladly return to a Man of Steel prequel.
Okay.
For a Jor-El movie on Krypton. I would want to see that movie.
So
I would watch that movie.
Does that mean Henry Cavill wouldn't be in it?
Oh my god.
That's just a question. Just an offhanded question.
Maybe they could do the movie like they did Godfather 2, where half the movie was based in the past and half the movie was in the present, to where you would still get Henry Cavill and everybody who really enjoyed
Superman.
Everybody who enjoyed Russell Crowe would get Russell Crowe. I really liked him as Jor-El. Apparently a lot of people have, so much so that, like I said, he had to take to Twitter because so many people were saying, hey, bro, would you... He was even responding to some fans. One said, to at Chris McKinley, getting sick of reading the same question, mate. However, if it came up, I'd give the tights another go. He also said a lot of you are asking about a Krypton prequel. If that's something you feel strongly about, let Legendary Pictures know your thoughts. He would love to do... I mean, I'm sure Legendary Pictures is not dumb. And considering the latest one has earned over $586 million.
Not a big deal or anything.
Man, I was reading something this week that talked about anticipation for the Star Wars sequel, Episode 7. And the estimates, early estimates of how much that would make. Take a wild guess. How much you think the sequel, Episode 7. Early estimations, obviously, because the movie's not coming out for like 2 years.
Right.
But people are already saying, you know, Hollywood box office peeps saying this is what it's going to make.
$1 billion.
More.
Really? I thought I was shooting high.
You thought you were. The last one I read said $1.8
billion. Oh, my gosh. How much did the last movie, the last...
I have no idea. Six? I don't remember. No, Episode 6 was Return of the Jedi.
Episode 3.
So they're saying that's probably the reason why Disney is not as upset about the Lone Ranger totally tanking and bombing is because
I feel like
they're
going to
make plenty of cash. Really?
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
Okay, everyone else expected it. They're not dumb.
Yeah. Imagine writing a check for, you know, $200 million and...
Here, you can have...
Here, just take it. No, we don't need this money anymore. So, they're planning on making over $1 billion with Episode 7. That's not 7, 8, and 9. That was Episode 7 estimation. So, it's unreal to me to think about the kind of money we're looking at, which, on one note, is kind of sad, all you movie fans, because that means... Less and less and less. George Lucas has said this in the past. Steven Spielberg has said this, that movie studios are going to start passing more and more and more on those small films and just going for the the big budget. Let's go with the action movies. Yep. Because we know that if it's
that
a good one,
money.
It's going to make a ton of cash. And with one movie, we could make the same as we would make with 10 mm-hmm. indie films.
Means we're going to have to fight harder for...
Yeah.
Different types of films.
Yeah, and less films. Speaking of good films, we had Daniel Lesko on this morning talking about Persecuted. It's a film that begins production tomorrow here in Albuquerque. The story of a contemporary evangelist. Dude, it's being played by James Remar. X-Men First Class. He was in Django. He plays Harry on Dexter. And they're looking for extras for this film. July 30th and August 2nd. They need over 100 extras for... protests for this audience, and you can check out details. Did you post it on Facebook?
I didn't yet.
Okay,
but it's going to be about 4 to 5 hour days.
Yeah.
That you're pulling, and if you stay till the end, they give you a little. It's like Willy Wonka status.
Yeah, Willy Wonka golden ticket. So you can learn more details. PersecutedExtras@gmail.com. That's PersecutedExtras@gmail.com. If you're interested, you can RSVP that way and talk to Joni. She's in charge of the extras coordination, if you will. Yeah.
I'll
get there. Check it out.
All the information at our Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio.
That's it for us. We are out. We'll see you guys again mañana, your final day before your couple week hiatus to Mexico.
Yes. Today was my final full day.
Yeah. Tomorrow you got to go to the doctor so you can like make sure you're not going to be sick in Mexico or something. Yeah.
You know.
Don't drink the water.
Don't drink the water.
Don't drink the water.
Never be alone.
Don't drink the water.
Don't drink the water.
Also, don't drink the water. Yeah.
Something in the water. Yeah.
Yeah.
There.
All right. We'll see you guys again manana for Mitch's final show for a few weeks. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's going to be all right.
Possibly Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely this guy.
Yes. You will be here.
That totally sure. worked in radio.
I know.
People totally saw my thumbs. Yep, we're out. Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static Radio.
Peace.
You can't get fresher than this.
Steve-O and Mitch in the morning on Static Radio.